Hello everyone, good night and welcome to episode 2 of Spectre. Shit. I'm sorry, I had a brain fart. I'm not going to stop the recording. Normally I would and restart, but so welcome to episode 2 of Spectre. Today we are talking about Resident Evil 1 and the remake as well. We'll see. It might be mostly of the original 96 PlayStation version. Maybe we will talk a little bit about the remake. I'm not sure yet, so we'll see. So I waited a few weeks for this one to come out because Resident Evil 2 was being shown at a few game shows. Unfortunately, nothing really groundbreaking. For example, there was Claire footage, which was cool. You know, the first look of William Birkin, but he kind of looked the way I'm sure many of us thought he was going to look. Claire did look pretty cool. No more hot pants, which is fine. Probably a thing of the 90s right there. What else? Sherry looked fine. It's funny because Resident Evil being an American inspired, horror game style story, whatever. I've never seen kids with a uniform like that. And I went to grade school here in the States, but it's funny though. Actually looks like something out of Mexico. What else? Brian Irons. He looked pretty cool. He actually did look like a freak pervert. That in itself is scary already, but he also reminded me of the guy in Rage, that game show host with that double chin. But can't wait to see more of that, so that'll be cool. But so going down the list of the series, I want to start off with one, basically in I guess chronological order of release date, I guess. So RE1, so I played, as I mentioned before, I played RE2, then RE3, and then I said, okay, let me go back to 1, see where it all began. But I kind of, honestly, I never really appreciated it because, 2 and 3 are set in Raccoon City, and I instantly fell in love with Raccoon City, but 1 being isolated, I just didn't. I remember when I booted it up, it looked like shit compared to 2 and 3. But I mean, obviously, I know, it was made with a lot of love, and of course, even back then it was dated already. But once I actually sat down and played it, honestly, I've mostly done Jill's Adventure. So I've done Jill maybe at least twice on the PS1, and even in the GameCube version. I have yet to be Chris on the GameCube version, and I guess we could all gather Chris's story is the real story, right? Because that's why Wesker hates him so much, because he foiled his plans. But so I played, so once I loaded up RE1 and finally gave it a chance, it took me honestly maybe like 30 minutes to really get into it. It's funny, the cutscenes were so classic, of the era. You get real actors for the cutscenes, and your game is 3D. It's funny because that's, I guess I would call that the golden age of 3D. Games like the original Resident Evil, the original Silent Hill, even a little further back, Perfect Dark, GoldenEye, Final Fantasy VII. What else? I think that's pretty much it, where they try to get creative with their presentation. Now it's just scan people, real actors on characters' faces. And, their voice as well, which, has a place. So, I remember once I actually got into RE1, it was funny. Like, the idea was so simple. So, if you think about it, it was actually smart the way it was built. So, first major horror game for Capcom. So, you have it in an isolated setting. Well, first of all, going back, pre-rendered everything. Okay, cool. In a way that, that helps a lot with performance. Yeah, you could flex your 3D muscle, but performance is king, in any game project. Yeah, you could have a game that looks amazing, but if it barely runs or runs like shit, the project will suffer. I mean, look at the first Killzone. It was supposed to be the Halo killer. It got everybody hyped, and man, that thing felt like the PS2 was going to explode. Like, they're probably not even sure how they put that together, because the performance on that thing, it's pretty painful. So, isolated environment. You have a limited cast of characters, and even though you are inside a specific space, the world still feels big, right? So it's basically a haunted house story. So, you know, playing it through, seeing that first cutscene of Kenneth being eaten by the zombie, I mean, that was great. Especially the uncensored version where the skull drops, the head drops, and then it falls to the side and you see the skull. But that original FMV of the zombie turning around after he bites into him, in both versions, but I mean, especially in the first, or in the original 96 Resident Evil, that's super creepy. And it's also smart how, for example, you have the mansion. The mansion has a couple of floors. Then you go out into the courtyard. Then you have the guardhouse. Then you have the caves. And then you have the underground lab. Actually, out of all the Resident Evil games, the lab in 1 is... Shit, it has to be 2 and 1. Those have to be my favorite end zones. And in 1, especially in the remake as well. So, you know, zombies were pretty standard fare. Sorry, I'm sending out a text. I shouldn't even be texting. So, you know, zombies were standard enemies. And the genius of having the notes scattered throughout the mansion. And it's funny because I kind of feel that with Resident Evil 1, especially for when it came out, you had the Metal Gear 5 vibe where a lot of people just played through the story. They just skipped the files and just didn't care. And they probably even got the bad ending and, you know, they didn't get the full experience. But, you know, with the music, actually reading the files. And that's one thing I actually do in Zero and in the remake. I actually walk slow. I don't just run through the environment, because if you walk slow, you have a awesome walking animation compared to, you know, the original where you have that like super tank motion. So I remember once I think the moment where RE1 really clicked for me was I was in that hallway where you need to put the sun crest, the wind crest, the moon crest, and it was sun, moon, wind, and I can't remember the fourth one, but I remember by that time there was a hunter there and I was playing with one of my buddies. And the hunter jumped, and I think my buddy was playing it actually, and he was aiming, but he had the foresight to aim up, and he caught him like right midair. Like, that was awesome. We both lost our shit. We're like, holy fuck, what the, that was awesome. And it's funny, I remember we had a bunch of instant noodles and a six pack of beer again in high school, which you should not be drinking in high school. Don't do that. Stay in school. Say no to drugs. And so that's when it really clicked. And then, you know, exploring the mystery. And it's funny, I actually should have mentioned it. So the first time I tried to give it a try was in Mexico with that buddy. So I was translating files. But then the second time was, you know, here in the States on my PS2. Because back then, corporations weren't evil and backwards compatibility was actually a thing. A legit thing, not like, hey, pay and you'll get it, or here, buy this version of the hardware and for, you know, $100 extra or whatever. But shit, hold on, I'm sorry again, my phone, one sec. Another thing too that well, for example, every time I record, I hit record and I usually fuck up. And usually take 5 is like the final yay upload. But now I'm just doing one take, and I'm actually going off script, because normally I have not a script, but bullet points of things so I won't forget them. But I kind of feel it makes the show a little... I think it makes it feel a little robotic. Plus, I need to start memorizing shit because technology makes you dumb. So... Oh, shit. My screen went dark. So once I, you know, played on my PS2 and finally got the full experience, honestly, I think it was by a miracle that I actually found the, what was it, the MODISCs or the three printer-like things that you need to solve in order to rescue your partner, thus getting me the true final ending where Tyrant appears at the heliport as well. I was just going so slow and, you know, completely taking in the atmosphere. I know a lot of people run through horror games, but no, not me. My jam is to go slow, take it in. And again, it especially feels really good with the remake and Zero, because you have some nice walking animations. But so going back to the way the project was put together, again, really smart. Limited cast, the environment, even though it's enclosed, it's really diverse. For example, enemies, you have the zombies, then you have something a little bit stronger like the hunter, then the Cerberus, and then the spiders, the sharks, the Neptunes, and the plant. So there's really, what is it, 6 enemies, 7 if you include the Tyrant, I guess. And that's a pretty smart way of, you know, making a game. For example, the zombies, I think, there's 2 variations of them. There's like the lab coat zombie and then the completely nude, fucked up zombie. The Cerberus, you only need 1. The spiders, you have your normal brown and black, and then you just make a bigger one black and gray. That's the black tiger, the boss. So that's, oh, and the yawn, the serpent, snake, whatever. And then the giant plant, and then you have 2, 3, 4 maybe sharks that are about the same size compared, you know. Oh man, the sharks in the remake, scary as shit. Alright, sorry for the delay. I actually had to take a call. I have to schedule myself better. Alright, so it's funny, I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but every time I record a podcast, I listen to music on headphones. I don't listen to myself. I listen to, obviously, Resident Evil music. In this case, the soundtrack of the original. And it's funny how, oh man, even the music in Resident Evil, like, it's funny, this one sounds, you know, a little MIDI-like. You could tell it's like, it probably was one dude. I think it was one dude. But the music of 2 and 3 are great, and hell man, even Dino Crisis 2, well, both 1 and 2, but 2, it's funny, it has that Capcom sound, right? Well, even if you combine that with like Final Fantasy 8, what else, Persona, and how's that other game, Parasite Eve, it's like the PlayStation era of music. So it's funny now that I think about it, so shit, I will have to talk about the remake. So again, working at GameStop, one of the dudes traded it in, and I think he was going to get, what was it, maybe $10 for it, but I didn't tell him. I'm like, dude, I got $5 right now. All right, cool. So give him the money, took the game. And it's funny because even as soon as you start the game, it's like you feel this enormous sense of dread, especially with that one cutscene where the zombie like tries to stand up from the bed and then gets shot in the face. And so I loaded it up on my GameCube. Of course, I had only Resident Evil for the console, Resident Evil 4. So I chose my question. I think the answer I chose was, you know, I enjoy the climb or some shit. It was like, I'm not here to walk, I'm here to climb and face obstacles, something like that. So the best thing about the remake was how they used basically the same sized area, but the layout was totally different in many rooms. So for example, in the main hall, yeah, it looks fine, but instead of being fully lit and almost sterile, you have the, you know, the candles, and it's in darkness. And it's funny because it's, you see lightning outside, like it's raining or it's about to rain, but I believe if you actually go outside, there's no thunder or rain, it's just like night. So that was cool. Immediately, you know, the exit behind the staircase and the gate going down into the catacombs, you know, that being within the same space but totally new, and leading you to two different areas. That was phenomenal. I remember the first time. Well, again, I have, that's the one I have yet to be with Chris, because what was it, a few months ago, maybe less than a year, I did Chris on my PSP, on the PS1 version of Resident Evil. And since I got the good ending, I actually got the Magnum. And I should go through that again with the Magnum, even though it's infinite ammo, just to completely soak in the environments, because I actually did that with Resident Evil 3 a few months after that as well. And honestly, I had never really appreciated 3. But for example, I didn't blast my way through with just the infinite ammo I actually, you know, took in boss fights. And man, my save must have been like, it must have taken me like 12 hours to beat it, because again, checking every environment, maybe there's something I missed in, you know, an Easter egg or something. I don't know. I just, you know, just enjoying the experience. So I had done the remake with Jill, and I remember the first time Lisa Trevor showed up. That was really, really, really creepy. And just the path leading to that shed. And it's funny because, I mean, you know, my man Shinji Mikami really knows what he's doing. And it's a shame that there's really no good behind the scenes of that remake. For example, I think, what was it, Resident Evil 4 was the first time Capcom actually produced a real great behind the scenes. And even then, you know, he's not in it. You don't get to speak to him. You speak to, you know, a few key members on the team. But it would have been nice if there was an in-depth behind the scenes, sort of like the behind the scenes of Silent Hill 2 and 3, which are online. Like that was a full, you know, I think half hour, 40 minute show, and you know, with full access. And you know, the best part of behind the scenes is seeing how people work, you know, seeing the setup, you know, back then, well, late 90s, early 2000s, you know, people have the big ass tube monitors, and if they have the dual setup, you know, it takes up their entire desk. And you know, especially the way Japanese offices are laid out, a lot of people have all their crap on it. And yeah, it would be great to see something like that. Or hell, even now, I know one of the guys, he's on Biohaze, what's his name? CVX Freak. I know that dude has some access. Like, I think he lives in Japan. He's managed to speak to, you know, some key members in person. And last I heard, I think he's working on a book. So, you know, it'd be awesome if they had a video, you know, as well. Something with some really nice production value, like, what's it called? Noclip on YouTube. Like those are behind the scenes, right? That's cool. Plus, especially now with the retrospective, like, you know, Mikami doing his own thing. I'm not sure how many people are still there actually on the Resident Evil team that were on either project, you know, on the original 96 version or the 2002 remake. Plus, I would be especially cool to be able to hear thoughts from guys that worked on both, right? On both the 96 version and the remake. But again, my favorite part in the remake was the final lab, which again, great contrast of having, you know, a complete sterile environment in the first Resident Evil, where here it looks old, it looks abandoned, it looks like the water pipes bursted and the place is just completely messed up. And especially, well, it's funny because I remember, even though there were things I could anticipate, there were a lot of moments that got me, especially the Crimson Heads. And the, honestly, I didn't know you had to burn them. Actually, talking with one of my buddies at work, you know, my man Josh, he said, oh yeah, we were talking about the GameCube version, about back in the day. He's like, oh yeah, man. He was saying, oh shit, you had to burn them. And it took me forever to figure that out. Like, damn, I didn't even know. Until now, I only use the quick escape, like melee attacks, the knives or whatever. And it's funny, I remember when the Black Tiger fight was approaching, that was kind of my dread, because like, oh man, what if they switch it up and the room's different, and you know, I don't want to get you know, basically caught with my pants down, right? So I knew the fight was coming. And you know, you go through the door. In the original, you hear the music, so here you go through the door, you see the cutscene, and then you jump into the fight. And it was funny because the Black Tiger comes down from the wall, and I'm surrounded by two other spiders. So I was like, oh fuck, I think I had, was it the flamethrower? I think I had the flamethrower or grenade launcher. Not a rocket launcher, grenade launcher. And man, I just chose it on the menu. I just let it rip 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 until I heard the thing's dying. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm out of there. But it is cool. I remember on a Project Umbrella podcast, I think it was Rombi saying that if you look up in the ceiling, you can actually see people like cocoon in the web. So I do have the HD remaster on Steam. So whenever I play that again, that would be nice to check out to see if it is. You know, honestly, I missed that because, I mean, it was just so. I was playing in the dark, 12 past midnight, almost 1 a.m., headphones on, you know, just the Mountain Dew by my side, and, you know, super creepy. And even the sharks, I think the sharks were probably scarier because in the original Resident Evil, it was just a square room. And the water's like waist high, and the sharks are pretty small. And they actually kind of look like dolphins, except for the big ass fin right on the back. And it's funny because you look at that and you look at the like concept art or the slides that they have towards the end of the game, and you kind of fill in the blanks yourself, like, oh yeah, that shark fucked up, right? T-virus. But in the remake, like, man, this thing was bigger than Jaws. Shit, what was the name they gave Jaws in the movie, like on the production? Was it William, Wayne, or Billy? I don't know. He had a weird name. But Bruce the shark. Yeah, Bruce Wayne. I mean, these things were bigger than the shark in Jaws. And, I mean, they look fucked up, the teeth. And then that room is basically like a cylinder, like a capped off cylinder, and it's deep. Like, oh, man. And then once you turn the water off and the shark is right there flailing, I thought it was going to grab me. Like, oh. That's super, super tiresome, super stressful. And it's funny, that was another thing too. Like once I made it to the lab and I had to turn the power back on with the fuse, I was like, oh, you know, I'll do this quick. I know what needs to be done. And it turns out that if you ran, the thing would like explode or something like that in the Chimera. I remember, I think a picture of the Chimera was the first thing I saw in the remake. And just seeing the detail, like, and it's funny, I don't even think ZBrush or Mudbox was out back then. And the detail in that model was like, fuck. That was like, you know, talk about Capcom pulling their zipper down and swinging their stuff around. It was like they showed like, hey, you know, we got the best talent. But, you know, not just in Japan, but like in the industry. Like, fuck. Some excellent models, excellent environments, animations, etc. And oh shit, sorry, I was taking a drink of water and it went down the wrong way. And the last Tyrant fight, again, I thought it was going to be easy. You just run around in circles, right? But you know, unbeknownst to me, the that final room is not a square like it was in the original. It was a you know, basically like a U-shaped. You can't keep running around in circles. Plus the room was like super small. You could see like, you know, Capcom right there telling story without giving you a cutscene or anything, with, you know, just what the environment work is like. It looked like they kept tacking parts onto the lab without it fully being fleshed out. You know, like there's a reason why the virus broke out, because, you know, they weren't ready. And even at the end, you know, again, playing with Joe, you know, trying to beat up Tyrant, and then he's going after Barry. And it took me 2 tries to beat him, because he actually like broke Barry's neck, and I was like, oh shit, because I was trying to run around to see if there were any herbs or anything, because I remember I think I barely had anything left. And actually when I beat the remake, oh man, even from the first, you know, walk into the mansion, it was just a constant struggle, constant uphill climb. I barely had enough ammo, barely had enough melee weapons to you know, get out of a tight situation. And it's funny, when I beat it, I actually felt like at the ending of the original, where, you know, Chris, he's all dirty, beat up. Like, I don't smoke, but if I had a cigarette next to me, I would have lit one, because it was just so exhausting. And it's funny, actually, a few weeks ago, working on, you know, on my workspace here at home, I had all of my retro stuff boxed up, by system with cables, controllers, etc. And I bought a rack and dusted off some of my old favorites and hooked them up for, you know, any fog goes well, I should be rendering pretty often, and instead of staring at the screen, you know, play some classics. So I actually checked my GameCube memory card and had my Jill save on it, and apparently I beat the Resident Evil remake on the hardest mode without even realizing it. So I was like, damn. I mean, but even so, right, it talk about totally adding to the experience. It was awesome. It was phenomenal. And again, I was a bit hesitant when Dari 2 remake news broke. I kind of right away thought, hopefully they do it like the remake of 1 and 0. Basically, you know, classic tank controls with some really nice modeling work. But I'm actually happy now that it's basically, I mean, it's a completely different style of doing a remake, right? Yeah, I mean, the polygons are there and everything looks retardedly detailed, but, you know, it plays RE4 style, which is cool because you already did, like, I would call it hyper classic Resident Evil twice, right? With the remake of 1 and with 0. You know, again, for those not in the know, 0 started on the Nintendo 64 and it looked like crap. And then they moved it to the Cube and it looks like the remake, right? But, you know, very, very satisfied. I should, I mean, again, I have it. I actually bought the collection on PC, 0, the remake, 4, 5, and 6. So I'm just waiting on to clear up schedule, maybe for October. I'll do a playthrough of 1, and especially one of my buddies, I want him to watch that stream because he got the Origins collection on Xbox One, but he said it freaked him out, and it was too hard for him to do. So, you know, it'd be nice to visit that one again. I have only beaten it once with Jill. And, you know, again, unbeknownst to me, on the hardest difficulty. But that has to be the best of all the Resident Evils in terms of, you know, classic stone cold survival horror. And it's funny. It's like those experiences where it's so good that you kind of don't want to go back to it because you just have such fond memories of that first experience beating it. But again, I do have to do Chris because, yeah, I saw Jill's side, but I never played as Chris in the remake, so I have to do that. Plus, you know, unlock some stuff for, you know, maybe future playthroughs down the line, like playing the invisible zombie mode or like the true survivor mode where the item box is not universal now. Wherever you leave stuff, you have to go back there specifically to get it. So, you know, yeah, I have stuff unlocked on the console, a lot of hours, whatever, but you know, it's time to go HD, right? With the PC. But let's see. So, yeah, I think on it here for today. It's about 30 minutes. So, yeah, again, anybody who stumbled onto Spectre on either YouTube, online, whatever, you know, thanks for dropping by. You know, if you're a Resident Evil fan, check out the site, goblin6.com. So that's goblin, G-O-B-L-I-N, the number 6.com. Hell, especially if you're not a Resident Evil fan, you know, drop by. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe, hopefully, you'll play it as well. And, yeah, especially, you know, the forums. Especially the forums, you know. Sign up. Let's get some conversations going. Talk classic RE. Talk modern RE. Talk modding. Talk movies, comics, books, games. It's all there. You know, so just drop by, sign up, and have a good time. So, right, guys, that's it for this episode of Spectre. I'll see you guys soon. Take care. Peace.